studies?
I had lots of quantum theory. I had like, I think I had three quantum theory courses at when I was back home in Iran, and I think I had 12 of them in Princeton.
My problem is that I'm not sure that I know enough quantum theory to start studying quantum field theory. So are they really, should I be very good at quantum
Not
mechanics?
really, not really. I mean, they are really that very different. I mean, and at least the most important part of the quantum theory, you just need the basic knowledge of quantum mechanics. And I guess we didn't really get to do anything quantum mechanical in our course. I guess the primary has a bit of quantum mechanics and maybe a bit transfer. But yeah, yeah, I think basic quantum mechanics, basic knowledge is all you need. It's just it's a different framework, so it has it's I guess it's something like a combination of relativity and quantum mechanics. So you
And
guess
what mathematical tools do you need? Do you need to be good at group theory or something?
well, I mean that does help. That's not necessarily quantum theory. That's I guess how you construct theories and how you construct quantum theories. You need to know some group theory for that. It's not necessary. You can learn that through the books. The quantum theory books usually teach whatever group theory you need. But I don't think there is much of a background. You should just it's just a lot of formalism that you have to learn. Anyway, so but that's a different course, of course. The other course, which is much more rigorous than this one. Definitely have much better teacher. So they have one part left from problems at six, which is, I think the only person left is Harsh, who hasn't presented today. So do you think you'd be kind enough to do part two for us? Okay, so let's see what it is. So you have an ultra relativistic particle that's moving past the body of mass with some velocity, and you have an impact parameter. And you're supposed to find the angle of deflection. Okay. Okay, so you haven't done parsing?
No.
But did you do part B? You're in the middle of part three, is that?
Yeah.
Okay. There's two of you guys.
I've got an idea, but I can write it, but I'm not sure about it.
Well, I guess you did part three, so let's get started. You don't like it, huh?
Well, I guess we need an angle phi that Padma has in like part B, and you didn't write it. And
Yeah.
now how we're gonna get the slide.
It's just the rate of change of phi to with radius. You have d phi to d lambda and d r to d lambda, so you have d phi to d r. So you have the function of phi r.
And then you get
So
phi.
this is the rate of change of phi, and you have to put your constants according to your initial conditions or anything.
We want to find phi.
Yeah.
So.
I think you should just do it because
Okay.
I just followed Padma and her solution and my
Okay. So that's how it's happened.
I'm not sure about it.
Well, let's see.
It's very horrible, this part C. My solution is.
So this is, of course, the famous, I think the first test of, well, not the first test, maybe the second test of general relativity, which was basically deflection of photons by sun. This is what Eddington did in 1920, when he observed basically that where the stellar position of a star relative to sun were during a solar eclipse. And because photons actually happen to do see the solar gravity of the sun, their positions, their direction are direction of the stars is different if there is gravity. So this is that problem. So let's get it started.
We have lambda, we have lambda, which I have in my papers right now, they are on the board, and we just divide them.
Yes.
I don't still have this. You can just, this will be alpha, which is a function of R. So phi will be the integral alpha r.
Yes. Yeah.
So
I think you need another parenthesis somewhere.
I don't need this.
So that's the formula?
Yeah.
Okay. Oops. Lost it. Ah, good. Got it.
increase the impact parameter.
Well, it's just taking that into account.
So,
what is that integral?
So, what I have is V. I have got V. I should find two of my constants of motion, which are L and E, as a function of V.
Yeah.
And then take that integral. So first I will find these constants, and then take the integral.
Yeah, good. And this is very similar to doing the thing, the classical problem. Basically, a two-body scattering with the Kepler potential.
So, I will take dr dt at infinity to be minus v.
Okay.
And so I take this, and I had this equation before, A over B, dr dt square, square over B. I had dr to d lambda. It's just dividing those two and having dr to dt. There's this equation. If we write this equation at infinity, it will give us e, which is a constant, equals 1 minus e squared. So that's E. How about R? We had another equation, A of 4, R to D, A, 5, square plus 1 on R square plus 1. B equals E. Well, it's the same thing this time. This is just dr and d lambda over d phi.
So you use the definition of L, which is basically r squared d phi by d lambda is L.
Yes.
You had it.
Yes. Using this. So now I want to write this equation at R0. R0 is the turning point where it's
You don't want to do it at infinity again? Because you want to connect it to the impact parameter.
I don't want to connect it to, I want to connect it to R0, which is the distance of closest approach, which is different from the impact parameter.
But at the end of the day, you want to express things in terms of the impact parameter,
so
right?
We can do that.
Because that's what the question, that's the problem, that for a given impact parameter, what is there is a chart. Yeah.
So I won't use this. If I want to, I wanted to put dr d5 to 0 at the turning point because r doesn't change phi at that point.
Good. Yes.
And then find.
That gives the minimum distance. Sure.
Yes, but okay. Well, if we want to do the other thing.
Well, that gives you the minimum distance.
Yes.
But,
yes. So please correct me if I'm wrong.
Is it right? Where did that come from?
Because
R goes to infinity at infinity, so what is R?
This is not an infinity.
Okay, so what is R?
This is this point, yeah. This is the relation of phi R. That first phi is phi R. It's relation with phi infinity. And
what is phi at infinity? Do you mean like the large angles or small angles?
Oh, at the end, I want to find phi minus phi infinity, so it doesn't matter.
So phi infinity is phi when R was infinite. Basically, the first.
So is it smaller then?
Well, it depends on which way you measure it. Depends on the origin. I don't know like which way. If the particle is coming that way, so where is phi equal to zero? Phi is zero at where on the trajectory is phi equal to zero? Or I guess it doesn't really matter, but if you can.
It's the with the horizontal line.
Okay. So then phi is decreasing with time. So the maximum value is phi infinity.
So R phi infinity is this big line here. R phi is this. And so
okay, so let me tell you what I would have done. So the angular momentum is just R cross V, basically, right?
Yes.
So what is angular momentum at infinity?
Angular momentum
of a particle, basically. If you know, because B is basically, B is for, if the particle didn't see the black hole, it would have just continued a straight line. And B is the minimum distance that it would have had in the center, right? Now, can you find for angular momentum for that particle? That's L, basically. What is L for that particle?
It's something like P squared V.
Well, dimensionally, is it correct? So what is your definition of angular momentum? That's the definition of angular momentum. It's r squared d phi by dt is L times V. So if there was no black hole, B would have been 1, right? And how about r times d phi by dt? Is that philosophy or not?
If I did this, so this would have been all B.
So B times V is basically L, right? So this is true at infinity. So
B is 1?
Yeah, B is 1. And, so it's a bit tricky. I think the easiest way to see this is to think that, but let's say, we know angular momentum is constant, right? Okay, no matter what. If the black hole wasn't there, the still angular momentum would have been constant. And the particle would just continue a straight line. And there is a closest distance, which is B. And you can calculate this combination, basically, at that closest distance, right? So it's R times V is just L. And the B times V is just L for that one.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So I should have this function with R. This is R in it. I put R equal B.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's just a number at the end of the day, right? L is just a number.
Yeah.
So what is it?
Yeah, so that's time function of d phi to dt. Let me bring my papers.
Are these the papers or are there more papers?
What are we doing again right now?
Well, so here's the thing. So we want to find L as
yes.
a function of impact
yes.
parameter.
Yes.
Okay. So how would you do that?
It will give us the same relation there.
That's a relation, sure, that's a relation. The question is, how does d phi by dt relate to the impact parameter? Now, isn't that clear? It's just that the point is that you have... So the definition of impact parameter is that if the particle didn't see the black hole, it would just continue on a straight line, right? So the angular momentum is basically the cross product of R, vector R, and vector V. And it remains constant if the particle has a constant velocity, travels on a straight line. It's just B times V. Right,
yes,
and that's what it is, right? So if the particle didn't see the black hole,
it's b dot v or b squared dot v, the angular
momentum. It's b times v because it's r squared times the angular velocity, which is d phi by dt.
And so what's the angular velocity?
Well, d phi, so r times d phi by dt is velocity, is the tangential velocity, right?
Yes.
So that's going to be V at the closest impact.
Right? So BV will be M.
It's not really so complicated. It's just BV is just there. Right. I'm not sure if what you're writing there would it give you the same answer or not? And then this might have been more confusing than what you had in mind. I don't know. different, but it's just that b, b times v is l.
So let's write again the phi plus the integral and L squared will be E squared. This is my integral now.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to find it from R.
Well, from R naught, which is like the minimum, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I guess it's really twice this, right? Because I mean, this is half of the angle, and
yes.
Then when you reach to minimum radius, and then from minimum radius to infinity again, there's
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
but I'm not sure whether there is also or something.
There's probably one. Because if there was no deflection, phi would go from 0 to pi or something like that. So it would change by pi. So the actual deflection angle is pi minus this.
You're looking for this. So now I should replace A, B, but that's where I haven't used the Schwarzschild A and B, because if I did, I had to solve this integral numerically. I wouldn't have been able to solve it.
Yeah.
But I used the Robertson. And made some approximations, many approximations to find the answer.
Okay, so let's do the simplest thing that you can do. It's just, what if A and B are both 1?
Okay.
So can we do that then? So this is like the very, very distance, large distance regime.
So if it's at such a large distance regime, this term will be 0. But V is also somehow related to R.
Mm-hmm.
If the R is very big, this term.
But they are comparable. Both, there's 1 over R squared and 1 over V squared. So. So I mean, both are going to be small, but they're not going to be comparable.
Yes.
So can you take this integral as a density? And I guess you can do the change of variables from R to 1 over R. If you call 1 over R lambda, for example, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, U is 1 over R. Then this becomes a standard integral, doesn't it? So it's going to be integral of du over a square root of one, some a constant minus du a square.
Yeah.
Right. So that's. So, I mean, because we know what the answer should be, right? The answer should be to basically pi over 2 or something like that. Because if there is, if a and b are 1, both of them, that means this integral, there's no diffraction, right? So this should be pi so that the diffraction is there, or pi over 2. So this is a standard, this is a standard integral, this is just an arctangent, I think. Yeah, I think it's just an arctangent. And
or sine minus 1?
I think this is an arctangent. But I guess it's been a long time since I did integrals. Now I use Mathematica. Now, and the way to study this now, okay, so this is. This is just this integral. If this a and b are 1, this is just this two times this integral b is a b x. Minus x squared. And if you call x is sine of theta, then this is just integral of cosine of theta d theta, and this is, or maybe you were right actually, this is sine of this. Yeah, cosine of theta, so this is just theta. So now there are some prefactors here though, because this is not really one. This is this constant, but you can actually absorb that in the definition of it in your new parameter. Because say if this was also if this was a constant. Wasn't 1, let's say it was a. You could factor out a and take basically x to x divided by square root of a. And your new variable, in terms of new variable, would be this becomes 1. So you end up with the same expression. So then so what happens, this integral becomes pi over 2 because x goes from basically 0 to 1. Because x is 0 because r is infinity. And x is 1 is where, let's say that we have already changed the variable so that this is 1. x1 is where this denominator vanishes, which is the minimum radius, right? Because if you get below the minimum radius, this becomes negative, the argument. Mm-hmm. Becomes negative. That's why it has a minimum radius. So this from 0 to 1, that means this part, this integral becomes pi over 2, because this integral is just a sine, our sine inverse. And sine, in the change of sine inverse from 0 to 1 is just pi over 2. So that's the easy part. Now the rest of it is to see what we can do if this a and b are not the correct one, right? So how do we want to do that? So what kind of approximations? Should we make to be able to do those?
The Robertson expansion.
So what is our Robertson expansion? This is just a Taylor expansion of the forms that we have.
And there are these gammas.
What is gamma?
It's the special relativistic gamma.
Ah, okay. Okay. And? Okay, and then what?
And we can put in the integral.
And then you can take the integral?
Yes, but with many approximations.
What are the approximations? You know, A and B, I mean, we know it's like the exact form. They don't have gamma in them.
No, that's why I just found it in Leibniz's book. These expansions.
But A and B just are functions of R, so they don't have, I mean, unless these are different A and Bs. Because A and B that you started from,
well, yes.
They were just 1 minus 2gm over R. And
because they were static solutions.
Yes. But the metric is still a static.
Yes.
So
I didn't understand what Pavlova has done.
Okay, so let's see what Pavlova has done. 5.11. I guess the bottom one can be very confusing. So he had. Neumann has a similar integral, right? So what is the problem that the integral is okay.
It hasn't written it as an integral, it has written it as a differential equation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has used a method to solve the differential equation using this form of u,
mm-hmm.
which is another assumption. In this solution, Pavlova makes many assumptions.
Yeah.
I guess he knows the answer.
Yeah, if you know the answer, you can do it.
But you know, what I feel about this is that Pavlova has used a cosine theta plus b for u, which means that it has u is 1 over r. 1
yes.
over r has some kind of trigonometric behavior, which means that our a and b's, which have 1 over r in them,
mm-hmm.
have got this behavior. So somehow it has assumed that the a and b's are the Robertson matrix A and B's with this assumption of U.
Well, so you're saying this assumption that U is A cosine phi
yes.
plus V of phi. I mean, that's pretty general. What's wrong with that? That's V of phi could be anything at that level. So then the I don't see what is. It doesn't really make much of an assumption, it just really be perturbative to solve this equation, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a tricky thing, but I mean you can either this is the general solution to the equation of R as a function of phi. You could either look at this equation, or you can look at the differential equation that led to this and solve that perturbatively. You can do either one.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't make much of a difference. The thing that gets this makes it a bit tricky is that this V, this argument is divergent at the limit, where at this lower limit, right?
Mm-hmm.
This becomes zero, this is the square root of zero. Now, although this goes to zero, so the argument goes to infinity, despite that, since you are integrating over it and it's just the square root, the integral is finite, right? Because basically integral of dx over a square root of x, although a square root of x goes to zero, this the argument goes to infinity, this integral is a square root of x. That's fine. Now, the thing that gets tricky here is that let's say that so we know this integral is finite. Hello.
This is a two, but
yeah. Well, I think I'm leaving before.
Yeah, sure. No, just she has to set up the.
Absolutely. Okay, so you should get that. So it's just that if you want to take the derivative of this, let's say you want to expand in terms of alpha, what happens? Then it's going to be integral of dx x minus 1/2 of alpha. So the Taylor expansion in terms of alpha will work because now you have x to the 3 halves in the denominator. And then this integral is not finite. So that's why you cannot just naively expand it. So that's the tricky part. That's why sometimes it might be easier to start with the equation that time, right, and perturbing the integral. But otherwise, if you do this properly, if you do a proper definition, then you don't end up with things like this. You can just do this perturbatively and assume that this 1 over b terms that you have, or say gm, 1 over b terms that you have in a and b, they are much smaller than 1. And then just do Taylor expansion. So it shouldn't be too hard now. I think that we don't have time to do it right now, but it's not, I think it's just a straight okay, so yes, I'm going to do this for you next week.
Okay.
Sorry, I shouldn't.
Oh, that's okay.
Excuse me. That's before.
Next time.